Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
Blanket COVID-19 testing has begun in Czech care homes. Bavaria has earmarked 100 intensive care beds for Czech patients. And unemployment fell in October. Blanket testing for COVID-19 at care homes began in the Czech Republic on Wednesday. Clients and staff are due to be tested every 5 days under the new scheme, with initial tests to be carried out within a week at the latest. The Minister of Health, Jan Blatný, said the average age of people being hospitalised with the coronavirus in the Czech Republic had climbed from 65 to 70. The infection takes a greater toll on the elderly, among whom it has higher death rates. The German state of Bavaria has earmarked 100 intensive care beds for Czech patients if the need arises in view of the COVID-19 situation. The Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš announced the pledge following a meeting in Prague on Wednesday with Markus Söder, Bavaria's Minister President. Mr. Babiš said the expression of solidarity was important to the Czech Republic, adding that he hoped there would be no need to take the German state up on the offer. He said the two sides hadn't discussed the specifics of staffing of hospitals if the beds were provided. The Czech Republic registered just over 12,000 new COVID-19 cases on Tuesday, roughly 3,500 less than Tuesday of the previous week. 149 people died on Tuesday, bringing the overall death toll close to 4,000. 7,400 people are presently hospitalised with COVID-19, of whom around 1,000 are in a critical condition. Although the past few days have given reason to hope that the epidemic may have culminated, experts say it will be another 10 to 14 days before the pressure on Czech hospitals eases. The Minister of Foreign Affairs, Tomáš Petříček, says good relations between the Czech Republic and the US should continue regardless of who wins the country's presidential election. He said this was proof of the intensity of the two allies' relationship. Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš said no matter who was victorious in the contest between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, cooperation between the two countries would only improve. Unemployment in the Czech Republic fell slightly to 3.7% in October, according to data published by the National Labour Authority. The jobless rate had stood at 3.8% for the previous 3 months. Analysts say the country is yet to see a rise in unemployment in view of the coronavirus situation. However, high growth is not expected. The Minister of Labour and Social Affairs, Jana Maláčová, has attributed the positive numbers to a scheme under which the state is covering the wages of staff whose work hours have been curtailed. And finally, a look at the weather forecast. Thursday should be sunny in the Czech Republic with an average daytime high of 9 degrees Celsius. Clear skies should give way to overcast weather from Sunday. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in the programme, despite the crippling coronavirus crisis, Czechs are setting up new business ventures, and Prague's Film and Music Academy is opening a new department specialising in video games design. Later on, we'll visit Kampa Island, known as Prague's Little Venice, so stay with us. Despite the coronavirus epidemic leading to a severe curtailing of normal economic activity, Czechs have not lost their taste for entrepreneurship. According to data from Bisnode, around 2,000 companies have been launched every month since the pandemic arrived in the country in March, as Tom McEncrow reports.
Jakub and Agnieszka are law students who have used the vast amount of free time on their hands during the spring lockdown to start their own handbag business. They have since invested tens of thousands of crowns into the project, sewing together over 100 handbags and launching their own online store to sell them. They have already registered interest in their products since the site launched in August, says Agnieszka.
Zájem o naše kabelky stoupá, to jak to poroste dál záleží.
There is a growing interest in our handbags. We will see how the situation continues to develop. It will depend on how we communicate our product. We started our project very much thanks to the fact that we could no longer do a lot of the activities common in normal times, especially those associated with the demanding student lifestyle in Prague. Instead, we started spending our evenings discussing ideas that we had only carried in our minds until then.
Theirs is not the only business venture started during a time when ordinary economic activity is being severely curtailed due to the effects of the COVID-19 epidemic. According to the business data analysis firm Bisnode, around 2,000 new companies were founded in March, the month the coronavirus first appeared in the country, with a similar number of new businesses getting started every month since then. While the overall number is still 6% lower than it was in the previous year, it shows that Czechs are not afraid to explore new ventures despite a seemingly unfavourable environment. The head of Bisnode Communications in the Czech Republic, Petra Štěpánová, told Czech Radio which sectors are particularly attractive to entrepreneurs at the moment.
Nearly one quarter of the newly registered companies state their activity as either trade, production or service-oriented. One-tenth is focused on renting out and administering properties, while 8% of new businesses define themselves as non-specialized wholesale traders.
Interestingly enough, catering and food stand businesses are also being set up, despite the hospitality industry being among the most heavily impacted by the government measures put into place to curb the spread of the coronavirus. A total of 898 companies have sprung up in this sector over the past 9 months. The president of the Association of Hotels and Restaurants, Václav Stárek, says that the state of emergency has actually helped several restaurant owners by forcing them to improve their services.
Jsou to lidé, kteří najednou zjistili, že se dá ještě třeba ten provoz gastronomický.
These are people who have found out that gastronomy can be done differently, that not yet fully explored tools such as online applications can help in communicating with customers. As a sector, we have been forced to reconsider our methods at a time when meeting in person or going to the restaurant is not possible.
Když se s tím člověkem nemohou setkat, anebo když nemůže přímo dojít do restaurace.
Pavla Břečková from the Association of Small and Medium-Sized Enterprises and Crafts says that the numbers are very good under the current conditions and serve as proof of Czech creativity. She says that now it is important to ensure companies are supported through payment deferrals, advantageous credit and help with covering staff costs.
Tom McEncrough with that report. Moving on now, the Czech Republic's video games industry has become one of the country's major exporters in recent years. At the same time, the industry is facing a shortage of experienced game designers. To change the situation, Prague's FAMU Film School plans to open a new department specializing in video games design as of the next academic year. Ruth Franková has the story.
Bohemia Interactive, Amanita Design, Warhorse or Beat Games, these are just a few of the Czech Republic's internationally successful game developers. At the moment, there are over 110 game design studios in the Czech Republic, and over 90% of their customers come from abroad, mainly the United States, Germany, Great Britain, Russia and China. The Czech gaming industry currently employs close to 1,800 programmers, graphic designers and other people who work on developing new games. However, it is still struggling with a shortage of skilled employees, says academic Jaroslav Švelch, one of the co-founders of the new video games design department at FAMU.
At the moment, game designers are mostly recruited from other professions in game design. Usually they are former computer programmers or graphic designers. There are very few people who specialized in game design from the very beginning. Most of them have had to undergo special training.
One of the teachers at the soon-to-be-opened department is Michal Berlinger from the award-winning studio Amanita Design, who co-created such games as Machinarium or Pilgrims.
Herní design je široká disciplína, je to v podstatě něco jako u filmu, jsme řekli režie.
Game design is a very wide discipline. It could be compared to film direction. It includes coordination of the whole team and the design of the game concept. There are many gifted artists and people in technical professions in the Czech Republic, but to move the video games somewhere further, we also need skilled designers.
Potřebujeme právě i solidní a schopný designéry.
The two-year master's degree, which is due to open in September next year, will accept a maximum of 8 students who will be learning how to create a game from the scratch. The new department plans to cooperate with other departments at FAMU, mainly animation, sound and production, and also with people who work in game design. Jaroslav Švelch again.
The larger teams have more designers and the team is overseen by a creative director, but it is the game designer who decides about the content of the game and about what the players are supposed to do. A game designer is not a programmer who is in charge of the technical aspect, nor a graphic designer. It really is a very unique discipline.
Ale je to vlastně taková vlastně jedinečná disciplína.
If the department proves to be successful, Jaroslav Švelch and his colleagues plan to open a bachelor's degree in the future. According to the latest data of the Czech Game Developers Association, the Czech video game industry grew by 20% in 2019, with a total turnover of 4.5 billion crowns. Experts predict the industry will grow by another 10% this year to reach a total turnover of 5 billion crowns.
Ruth Franková with that report, and a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio, where it's now time to go places. And today we're heading for Kampa Island, which is known as Prague's Little Venice, in the company of Tom McEncrow.
Když ještě civilizace nebyla, vládla celým širým světem idyla. Lidi byli jen nahatý v opice, Brontosaurus válcoval jim silnice. Poledne mu dali metrák přes ličky a pak v jeho stínu hráli kuličky. Brontosaurus žral, Lido obsi hrál, když dostal hlad, tak si vzal a potom klidně spal. K obědu měl datle, k večeři zas jelena, z palmy měl paraple, mlíko z vemena. Nic nepočítal, nebyly peníze, měl to, co si vzal, nebyla kríze, a k tomu času byla fůra.
Prague's Kemper Island, located on the west bank of the Vltava River, is among the Lesser Quarter's most idyllic and romantic spots. The Verdant Oasis is set apart from the historic district by the Devil's Canal and dotted with historic mills along its edges. Many celebrated Czech actors, musicians and other artists have called Kampa home, no doubt drawn to its tranquil atmosphere and the waterways reminiscent of Venice.
Teď vyjíždíme do vodního kanálu Čertovka.
Zdeněk Berkman, a local boatman, is convinced that the beauty of Prague is best taken in from the water. He organizes sightseeing tours on historic boats and barges in more than 20 languages. The Devil's Canal, or Čertovka in Czech, is where he started his business in 1993.
Já jsem si první kapitál založení firmy.
I got my starting capital by picking apples and grapes in northern Italy. Then I bought my first outboard motors and started organizing sightseeing tours on the Čertovka with my old steam barge, which I had owned since my youth. From the start, the tours included commentary meant to capture the genius loci of Prague.
Zdeněk Bergman is taking us on his traditional boat ride.
Teď, kde vlastně stojíme, je přístaviště přímo na Jurytině mostě.
We're standing on the Charles Bridge dock underneath Křižovnické square and the Charles Bridge Museum. From here we can see a long tunnel which we call Old Town's Watery Underground. Here you can see some of the oldest landmarks to be found in this part of the city. There's the monastery of the Knights of the Cross with a red star dating back to the year 1252. And three arches under the monastery, the extant arch of the Judita Bridge from 1169, and the hidden first arch of the Charles Bridge, which connects the Old Town Bridge Tower to the mainland. Between them stands the arch that supports most of Křižovnické Square.
Part of this long underground area, which boatman Zdeněk Berkman has shown us and is unknown even to many locals, serves as the dock of his Prague-Venice company. The 8 boats that dock here are replicas of ones that sailed the Vltava in the 19th century. They're inspired by the simple cabinless river boats that navigated the river between České Budějovice and Prague since as early as the 16th century. We are now crossing the Vltava on a boat, heading from the Old Town to the Lesser Quarter and Kemper. Although people still call it Kemper Island, it has been a peninsula since 1915, following a reconstruction of the Devil's Canal. The 740-metre-long water canal was originally dug to power the local mills by the Knights of Malta. Berkman tells us about the history of Kemper, a place where only fields, vineyards and gardens used to be.
Všechny ostrovy v Praze jsou takzvané jesepy. Jsou to výsečné nánosy, které vlastně migrují v řece.
All of Prague's islands are made up of sedimentary sand, which migrated down the river. From the 12th century, the Čertovka separated Kampa from the Lesser Quarter and served as the waterway around the court of the Knights of Malta. The canal was called Rožmberská Stroha, the Rožmberg Ditch, until midway through the 19th century. Kampa, which stands on the east bank of the canal, was stabilized after the largest fire in Prague's history consumed much of the Lesser Quarter, as well as Hradčany, in the year 1541. The fire destroyed even the buildings which housed the Zemské desky, or land tables, the most important legal documents of the time. The charred remains of Lesser Quarter houses were taken to Kampa and used to shore up the island. Later in the 16th century, new houses began to be built here, making Kampa the first of Prague's islands to be permanently settled.
The Devil's Canal supposedly came to be known as such thanks to a quarrelsome resident who frequently did her laundry in the waterway. Kampa used to be full of laundresses, millers and craftsmen, namely potters. Potters' markets were also held here, and one ceramic workshop remains today. There were originally 9 mills in the area, of which only 3 were preserved. Of these, the Velkopterovský mill is in the best condition. It was still in use as a mill until 1936, and its giant wheel still rotates, albeit only to impress tourists. The Vltava River and Devil's Canal are also popular fishing spots, says Zdeněk Berkman.
The Čertovka is a big breeding ground, and the water around Charles Bridge is a good place to fish. Some of these fishermen are over 90 years old and have been fishing here for more than 50 years. For me, they are the living memory of Prague.
Berkman also explains how the Devil's Canal was used for canoeing.
In the 1980s, the canal was repaired and narrowed by about 2 meters on each side. Until the Velvet Revolution in 1989, the canoeing team of the Czech Technical University trained here. Water level was fairly high, so they could have equipment, train, and even race here. Our boats have a draught of only 38 centimeters. That enables us to navigate small river canals, such as the Čertovka, as well as to float into the tunnel underneath Old Town.
The Vltava can get very crowded during the summer, but navigating the calmer Devil's Canal also has its challenges.
After designing and constructing all these ships, I had to sail down the Čertovka myself and teach our captains how to go about it. I have to say that navigating these parts requires a certain talent. It's hard even for people who have captained big ships before working for us. The maneuvers are tricky and, understandably, one must be on the lookout for large ships.
As Zdeněk Berkman says, a boat ride on the Čertovka and Vltava has a unique atmosphere. How does it differ from a trip down the Seine in Paris, for instance?
je vlastně na rovině.
Paris, like Vienna and London, is flat. Prague is much hillier, so a trip down the Vltava is 3D rather than 2D. Of course, when you add some nice wine, beer and food, it's more like 4D or 5D. The hills and towers of Prague give you views you will not find in other European cities.
V těch jiných evropských metropolích nepoznáte.
Já vám nemám tyhle lidi rád, co se nechtějí a neumějí smát. Řekněte mě, má to smysl takhle si kabonit mysl? Vždyť si člověk je rád příklad ze zvířat.
The tranquil park neighbourhood of Kampa has always attracted prominent figures. Among them were the composers Josef Mysliveček and Bohuslav Martinů, illustrator Adolf Kašpar, painter Zdenka Braunerová, singer Eva Olmerová, and the actors Eduard Kohout and Josef Winklář. At the entrance to the park stands a villa bearing the name of its most famous resident, the avant-garde actor Jan Werich. The building was originally a tannery and was reconstructed for Czech National Revival figure Josef Dobrovský by his aristocratic patron, Count Nostitz, when Dobrovský was a tutor for this nobleman's family. Werich Villa tour guide Ruth Beterová tells us more.
Tehdy totiž celý ostrov byl rozdělen do tří zahrad.
The island used to be divided into three gardens belonging to the Michna, Waldstein and Nostitz families. At that time, Kampa was on the edge of Prague, and this villa was the summer house of the Nostitz family. If Josef Dobrovský was to live here all year round, the villa had to be reconstructed, and so in 1803 the house was rebuilt in the neoclassicist style by architect Jan Paliardi.
In the early 20th century, art historian and Prague expert Zdeněk Wirth lived here. So did Han Hung Su, an archaeologist and founder of Korean studies in Czechoslovakia during his five-year stay in the Czech capital in the 1940s. Now the villa belongs to the city of Prague, but is administered by the Jan and Meda Mládek Foundation, which also runs the nearby museum Kampa. The building was hit hard by the floods of 2002 and has undergone a significant reconstruction in recent years. Tour guide Ruth Peterová again.
Tady jsme zrovna teď v přízemí, což byl první byt v minulosti.
We're now in the Werich Villa, which used to be made up of two flats, one on each floor. In the upstairs flat lived Jan Werich, and the downstairs area, which is now a cafe, was the home of poet Vladimír Holan.
Jan Werich, co-founder of the interwar Osvobozené divadlo, or Liberated Theatre, lived in the villa from 1946 until his death in 1980. His legendary collaborator Jiří Voskovec also lived in the house for a short time before emigrating to the United States. Although it is called the Werich Villa, the house never actually belonged to him. He was only a tenant in the city-owned flat.
A ta brá golem, dvuk hachomer, vetik zor zedin chével, tofe Israel. Shalom, já jsem Jakub Chaim Ben Sasson, žák rabino.
The cellar, the oldest preserved part of the house, contains an exhibition about the old Jewish quarter of Prague and the legendary Gollum. That ties in with the Werich and Voskovec's play, Gollum, as well as the film The Emperor's Gollum, in which Werich starred. On the first floor is Werich's restored flat, an exhibit dedicated to the Liberated Theatre, and a small room beneath their stairs. Theatrical performances take place in the attic.
Tady. Máme od studentů Damu udělanou takovou malou kukaň.
Students from Prague's film and TV school FAMU built a little chamber with a peephole for us, which looks into the pantry. Jan Werich and his wife Zdena frequently hosted guests and always kept a full larder. They led a busy social life, as is evidenced by photographs of the time. Actors and other people from the cultural scene would visit, including Karel Gott. Here we have a photograph of Werich with one of Gott's albums. It must have been a gift from the singer himself.
Byl to očividně dárek, který mu pan Gott přinesl.
The Verich's Christmas Eve parties were legendary. All visitors were, of course, closely watched by the secret police from the windows of the Liechtenstein Palace across the street. One frequent visitor was the legendary animated film maker Jiří Trnka, who lived nearby. Trnka's relatives still live in the blue and white classicist villa, which the filmmaker bought in 1960. On the way from the Verich Villa to the Legion Bridge stretches an elegant park dating back to the 1940s. It was originally meant to be a military training ground, but was converted into an English-style park after the war. A walk through Kemper can be made more pleasant by a stop in one of the cafes along the Devil's Canal. Standouts include Mlinská kavárna, or Mill Café, which has the original interior from the 12th century, and Café Marnice, or Café Morgue, housed in a former morgue. The buildings of the old Sover Mills are impossible to miss along the way. They now house Museum Kemper with its unique collection of paintings from František Kroupa and others. Another nearby landmark is the Lenin Wall, across the street from the French Embassy. Since the 1960s, it served as a symbol of protest against the former communist regime.
Když ještě civilizace nebyla, vládla celým širým světem idyla. Lidi byli jen nahatý v opice, Brontosaurus válcoval jim silnice.
And that trip to Prague's Skampa Island with Tom McEncrow brings us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. And remember, you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Daniela Zarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.